We are live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who are you?
I don't know. I'm still deciding between Cinderella, Fruit Loop, or just Janita today.
Okay, I know the Cinderella. I know the Fruit Loop. The third variation, Janita, that kind of scares me. Don't know if I
It's a
want that.
combination between Fruit Loop and Cinderella, and actually, I feel very calm and very re relaxed today. Yes, something in those lines.
Okay. Did you meditate on the lawn outside? Yeah, did you sit in a yoga?
No, I made myself a cup of coffee after I dropped Aiden off at school. And then I just sat here watching the birds outside, drank my coffee in peace and quiet. And I think that's why I feel relaxed.
Guru, we have a guru amongst us. But no, I know exactly where you're coming on that one. Yeah, I'm still drinking my second coffee as we speak. Okay, what are we doing? It is Peeling Potatoes, episode number 5. It is the 20th of June 2025. And I know why you're feeling relaxed.
Why?
Because for you, it's the winter equinox. For us, it's the summer equinox. So from tomorrow onward, it's going downhill up north, but it's going uphill down south where you are.
I wouldn't say uphill.
Well,
Because usually in July we have the coldest weather in the winter.
that's unimportant. It's the level of. Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares about the temperature? I mean, it's the
Well,
day.
I'm just waiting for the school to end next week, so Aiden doesn't have to go to school for a whole month, and I don't have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I think that's why.
Do you
One week to go.
do not underestimate modern technology. He and I have the secret line. This is the secret communication channel, and I'm sure that he will sort of receive a little prompt. Go give mother a hard time. Yeah. 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay. We have quite a program today. We're going to be talking about the
Yes.
weather. We're going to be talking about the weather in the south, where you are. We're going to be talking about the weather in the north, where I am. We've got a Fruit Loop question, which is like mind-blowingly fantastic. And we're going to be talking about what's been happening in the community this week. But I want to start with a story that took place Wednesday morning. This is when this story started. And you and I, we've talked about this. The story
Yes,
is really, really mind-blowingly.
I agree.
People talk about teachers having to motivate students,
Yes.
but it works two ways. And what happened in this case was so motivating. Yeah, I just sort of jumped up and down like a little boy. Not that I'm an old man, but you never know. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I receive a WhatsApp from Rosie, who's out in Brazil. Now, some people might think, oh, why is he reading texts at 3 o'clock in the morning? Not doing well on the sleeping front at the moment, too much going on, and I tend to sort of sleep and work when I can. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awake and this thing pings out at me. And I look at it from Rosie and think, oh my God. Rosie usually comes in about patches of a million messages. And then she says, hey, Frank, how's it going? It's 11 p.m. Or I'm going to visit my niece and her husband in their new house in blah, blah. Which I checked this morning is 650 kilometers from where Rosie lives, and she's on the bus. The
Wow.
bus leaves at 11 p.m. and is going to get at its destination at 8:15 in the morning. She will try to make it for our lunch with Janita and Frank meeting, And could she have the Zoom link, please, sent to her mobile?
Yes.
And I thought, yeah, okay. Let's wait and see. So I did. I sent the link, of course. And then what happened yesterday, Janita, at this luncheon?
Well, first you thought she wasn't going to show up because she didn't respond or she didn't read your text. She didn't see the link. And then we started with our meeting yesterday, and the next moment she popped in.
Yes.
While she was on the bus, all in the dark, she looked like a ghost at that time.
Mind you, a good-looking ghost. Yeah, I mean,
yes.
You know, if you want to put ghosts onto a fashion parade, I mean, she's doing very well. Yeah, but
yes, and someone who's traveling by bus for 6 hours or 600 kilometers.
Yeah,
it was a good ghost.
It was brilliant, and I think you and I were just like totally stunned.
Yes,
at this because it was so. And then we sort of played around a bit. And she says, no, Breeder is fantastic. And, you know, she is so dedicated to it that she will
yes.
even go out of the way to just to endure the discomfort of a bus ride.
Yes.
I mean, 8, 9 hours on a bus. Not my idea of fun, but there you go. So, Rosie, I know you watch this. Our hearts, I think I can speak for you there as well.
Yes.
Janita, our hearts go out to you. This is dedication at its best.
Yes.
We can't say thank you enough for this. It's, I mean,
yes.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
I tried to award you a golden pineapple yesterday evening because I'm changing some things on the... on the community platform, somehow it didn't work. But I think we're going to introduce these rankings and these badges and these points and
yes.
so on over the next couple of weeks. And I think somehow we should give Rosie a special recognition badge or something like that. Maybe we
yes,
can
I agree.
Display it and say, you know, look, she gets a zillion points for this because it's like brilliant.
Yes.
Okay. Right. The most important topic
yes.
we have is our celebrity chicken.
Oh, dear.
So again, yeah, people might think we are totally, totally crazy. We're not.
not completely. Maybe 50-50.
So last week, hang on, 50-50. Which one's the crazy one out of us two? What do we share that?
We are both sharing.
Very diplomatic this morning. Anyway, so last week you told us the story of the about the arrival of nuggets and your displeasure.
Yes.
Not displeasure, but your
unimpressed. I was unimpressed.
You were unimpressed.
I was not amused at all. And my mind went into, where are we going to keep this chicken and how are we going to keep this chicken warm and alive and it's winter and all of those things. But I'm over that now.
So it would,
I feel better.
So it would appear, because you wrote somewhere that you are actually warming to this animal.
Yes, shame.
do your husband and son sense this sentiment?
I think so.
So that's bait for more trips to the pet shop.
Hopefully not to the pet shop. We have to get a chicken coop first, or build a chicken coop first, before we make a turn at the pet shop.
Okay. Anyway, well, that's something for the bricolage. You could provide
yes.
instructions. You could make a little, and you could maybe involve your son in this a little bit. Sort of, he can
yes.
he can take the pictures. You know, make sure he's not seen anywhere, and then you can make a project how to build a chicken coop. So just in case some other mad husband has an idea to surprise his wife with a chicken,
Well,
There you go.
usually you build the chicken coop before you get the chickens, in my opinion.
Yes, but you see, you're on the southern hemisphere, so you're walking on your heads. You do everything upside down.
Probably.
Yeah, so that's why you get the chicken and build a house around it. Anyway, but so
Yes.
the messages are coming through thick and fast,
Yes.
and within a week, the celebrity status of this chicken has shot through the roof, and it felt so that certain people felt compelled, motivated to ask you some questions, and I'm going to read
Yes.
them. I'm going to read them. So Natalie wrote, I'm asking myself if Nuggets is laying eggs yet. Best regards. And then she wrote in brackets underneath, the Nuggets fan club. So
Yes.
we have a fan club. Sylvie, we live in France. As I heard about the weather at night is very cold, I'm asking myself if your lovely Nuggets has a place in your warm bed. And maybe this is the beauty of it, yeah. Maybe you will wake up with fresh eggs. Claire, she takes the biscuit here. She says, "Hi, or hello, Janita. I love Nuggets. In my opinion, the Nuggets fan club could expand itself. For this, I wave the flag to be the social media manager." Of this new celebrity. I'm telling you, it's about marketing. As someone who was called the influencer of the class in high school, so I asked her about this. She said, yes, I was, that was my nickname. I'm not particularly proud of it, but that was my nickname.
Yes.
I have loads of experience. And she said, and I mean, I don't know how she does it. Yeah. She posts a handful of things on TikTok. And she says, I have about 56,000 followers on TikTok and
Wow.
1,200 on YouTube. So I've posted about 400 videos on YouTube. Most of them are unlisted, and I've only got about 37. Okay. I have edit.
Maybe we should ask her to advertise Breeder.
Maybe we should. Because she says, I have editing skills, analytical skills, and creative skills. Janita, let's meet in the Breeder Cafe to discuss an arrangement on the social media debut of Nuggets. Looking forward to your reply. Yours sincerely, Clear. Now, I've seen you've replied to these.
Yes, I'm
So,
reading through them and thinking about my answers.
And then there was, of course, one person, Celine, who she just could not get her head around the fact she kept thinking of the
Yes.
edible chicken nuggets,
Yes, of the chicken nuggets.
and not
How
of
would they
the
lay eggs?
and not of the and not of the so the edible chicken and not of the real chicken.
Yes.
Anyway, so how is the man? How is the girl? It's two versus two. You've got, you and the chicken versus your husband and your son. So it's now actually sort of like 50-50.
Spider is also a girl.
Yeah, but she's doing her own thing. Yeah.
And the hamster is also a girl.
Okay. All right.
So we are four against four.
Four against four. Okay. Right. But
Equal.
anyway, how is Nuggets? Can we have an
She
update?
almost became chicken nuggets during this week.
No, you can't do this to us.
I won't. But I think like my husband was a little bit fed up. I was a little bit fed up. But it's okay. She's doing well. She's outside at the moment.
Do we have
I
to
was
call the S?
actually
Do we have to call
no,
the
you don't have to.
SPCA and get them to
No.
rescue him?
No. So I don't know actually what brought this up, but Nuggets lets herself into the house when it gets too cold outside. This is about 5:15 in the afternoon. She comes inside. She lets herself in. And first she escapes the chicken coop and then she comes into the house. But the rest of the time she stays in the chicken coop. And she came in and I asked my son to go fetch her food and her water because we can't just leave that outside. You know, obviously she's going to eat before she goes to bed.
As one does.
So she comes in and she chases the dogs away. She eats a little bit of dog food and drink from their water. And I don't know, at that time, she made a mess and we asked my son to clean it up and he just ignored us. He left the food outside, left the water outside. He didn't clean up after his chicken. It is his chicken, supposed to be. And then my husband got a little bit agitated and he said that he's going to make a chicken nuggets, turn her into chicken nuggets. I was busy cooking at the time. I was thinking, please don't do it now. Please don't do it now. after a couple of, let's say threats, my son started cleaning up and he went to fetch the food and water and then we carried on.
We're talking here three educators, you and your husband and me, teaching a kid. So I'm just watching from the sidelines, but you know, two educators teaching a kid how to do what has to be done with a chicken. Yeah.
Yes.
I can actually tell you this, if you need advice on how to kill a live chicken, we have a person in the breeder community who knows how to do that. Natalie, she told me as part of her military training, she's ex-military, as part of a survival program, they had to kill a live chicken and prepare it for dinner. I'm not going to read.
No, it's okay. I don't want to go there.
should desperation reach a point where you need to resort to extreme measures, we have an expert on this subject.
No. I have a friend who lives on a farm and the farm is not very far away from here. So okay. I'll just send her a message. Can I add another chicken to your already existing chicken family?
Okay. Well, I've just probably fallen in Nugget's esteem because he sees me as a potential threat now. Yeah, he's trying to kill me. Anyway, so in good breeder style, these questions came to you and you took the time to reply to them. I haven't read the replies yet because they're fairly new. But thank you for doing that. And that's exactly what we're trying to establish in the community. Hint to Monica, who is now somewhere in Queensland, somewhere in the tropics. You still have about 4 hours before your deadline expires. Thank you for sending me the pictures of your trip. But I'm actually looking for something else, but that's a different subject, right? moving on. Cape Robin living its best life and so on. Snow, flooding. What are we talking about here? What's this Cape Robin story?
Okay. A Cape Robin is a kind of bird. Mm-hmm. It's a smallish bird. It's gray in color and then it has like red orange on its chest and the tail is also red and orange. And then around the eyes, it has white feathers. And a couple of times now, since I think maybe last year or even the year before, there was this bird coming into our house. So when the window is open, it comes in through the window. And when the door is open, it uses the door. It knows exactly how to get in and out. And then it will jump on the kitchen counter or maybe on the kitchen sink and see if there's maybe some rice left or maybe some crumbs, breadcrumbs or something that it can eat. And
very well trained animals down in South Africa. Chickens.
I don't know how this bird became this tame, actually. Because we have a palm tree that I can see from my office, quite large, and we feed birds. We have two bird feeders in there, and we give them some crushed corn, and I don't even know what else is in the mix, but we give them some food, and we see them sitting on the wall and in the tree and on the grass. But this bird does not eat from this feeder or from these feeders. We never see it there. I've sat here and watched the birds, and it's never there. It's always on the back side. And then it will sit on the wall there to see if the window is open or if the door is open. And if it's open, it comes inside. And it started bouncing from the kitchen to the living room and on the way to the rooms and the bathroom. And when it sees the dogs, it just jumps a little bit higher so the dogs can't get to it. And then when we move around, it goes out again.
Curious. Absolutely curious. And it's always the same robin?
I don't know if it's the same one, but I'm guessing it is, because it always comes in when the door is open.
Well, it speaks
and
for the...
It knows exactly how to come in and how to get out. During this week, I saw it here in the living room, and then it hopped back into the kitchen and then went out through the back door.
Wow. it speaks for your home, really, doesn't it? That birds feel comfortable. You know, chickens can walk into the house. I live here, so this is my home.
I even have pigeons, or we have pigeons living just above the ceiling, or in the ceiling, between the roof and the ceiling in my office.
so do you have a sort of like an attic space up there, or is that just sort of
no? It's just just empty space, yes.
Just empty space. Okay. Wow. Okay. I suppose we could sort of move this around and tell, you know, all birds who are looking for a haven or a sanctuary, go to Janita and her husband's house, and you'll be fed. No cats, because we couldn't do this here with a bird feeder or so, because four cats and a lot of birds.
Yes.
Not a good combination.
Not a good idea. Yeah. But you know the Disney princesses? Snow White, Cinderella, all of them talk to animals, or they have animal friends. So I'm guessing that we are all Disney princesses. My husband and son as well.
Is he within earshot of you?
Yes, he is, but I don't think he heard me.
one day I hope to meet him and say, you know what your wife's talking about? Yeah, you're a Disney princess. I'm like, you know, manly rugby player. Okay. I actually skipped a point. Sorry, I'm sort of reading this wrongly.
That's okay.
You've got here Fruit Loop to Mayor, Fruit Loop's couch celly story.
Yes.
Now you sent me, and I've forgotten in which context you sent me a picture.
Yes, two pictures.
Thank you. I'm sorry, two pictures. do get it right, Frank. The diplomacy is wearing off. Yeah, whatever you had for breakfast this morning is beginning to wear off. Okay,
I didn't have breakfast yet.
Yeah. Come on, Frank. Be, you know, teacher. You need to, you know, slap on the wrist. Okay,
but you have to know that there were two pictures, because both of them has a story or context.
And this is what I'm looking for. So I'm sorry. But I'm going to try and get this right in the description. So basically, you have this very small car. On top of on the roof of the car, a gigantic sofa, and one man sort of trying to maneuver all of this. And it was not sunny.
Yes, that's what you can see in the pictures.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let me.
Since we love storytelling and pictures, there must be a fantastic story here. tell us the story.
Okay. So these couches they belonged to John, my husband, before we got married, and then when we moved in here, we brought the couches with us. Now, before we moved here, I sold mine, and we decided to use his instead. And then after a couple of years, We've been living here for almost 4 years, and we decided that these couches are too big and it's taking up too much space in the house. We want a little bit more open space to move around and so forth. So I have two very, very nice chairs. They just need some new material, but these two chairs were made in the 1950s or 1920s or something. They used to be my grandmother's. So I had these two chairs in storage, but it also went through the family. My one cousin had them, then my sister had them, then my mom had them, and then they came to me. And we kept them in storage for some time, and we decided we are going to take them out and use them. And then there's a couch at my mom's house that they don't use. It's also just in storage there. So I'm going to get that couch and bring it here. So it's like a sleeper couch, but it's actually very, it looks pretty. It's not very comfortable, but it looks pretty. But then if we watch TV, we can open up the couch and we can lie down and watch TV. Yeah, but anyways, so to open up space, we decided to sell these couches. And we took the couches out, we did the changes inside the house, and I posted them on Facebook Marketplace so that we could sell them.
As you do.
As you do. So we have a little shed, a wooden shed outside. Not little, it's 3 by 3 meters, so it's not little, but we had the couches in there. And then a lady messaged me and she said she wanted the couches. I said, okay. So first, John and I moved these couches outside and then into this little house. Then when she told us that she wants the couches, we took them out again because they were kind of packed on top of each other because there's other things in the storage as well. And we brought them to the front. Then this lady came. She said, no, she wants them, but she's going to bring her husband the afternoon so that they can pick them up. When the husband came, he said he doesn't want them because it's not going to fit into their apartment. So I said, okay, that's fine. So then we had to take these couches back into the storage. And then this lady sent me a message. She really wants the couches. And I said, okay, that's fine. But let me know if you are coming, whatever. I don't know. I don't have high hopes after the previous miss sell.
There's a new word, Miss Cell.
Yes, a new created word. So then she told me, no, she's coming for them. So the weather in this time, it was in January or February, our rainy season. So with the rain, we can't leave it outside. We don't want to put it back into the house because then we don't have space. So we have to put them in the back where they can stay dry and then take them out, whoever wants to come to see them. But this is also happening at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's starting to get dark and it's also rainy. And so we have to run around between the couches, carrying the couches. But anyways, so this lady said she's coming. Jean helped me to take them out. No, he didn't. No, I decided, nah, just leave them there. And we are not going to take them out again. That's actually what happened. So, Jean was working when this lady and her husband showed up. So she phoned me. She said, I'm at the gate. So I looked at the gate and I thought, I don't see a big vehicle. There's just a small green car. So she said, oh, I'm in the green car. Oh, dear. Okay. I opened the gate. I showed her where I live close to the main gate. So I waved her over. They parked the car. She and her husband got out. And I said, okay, well, let me take you around. They are in storage. We decided not to take them out. So they checked and they said, they'll take it. I said, okay. So she and her husband, I wanted to help them to take them out, but she and her husband took them out. So it's an L-shaped couch, and this L-shape is divided into three parts. So there's two seats, and then a middle seat, and then two seats again. And they are quite heavy. So they took them out. She's a small lady. And her husband is a bit bigger, but he's not very tall. But but they took the couches out. And then, but first I asked them, are you going to come back later to fetch them? No, don't worry. You'll see. I'm like, oh dear. So they took the couches out. So in front of us, there's undercover parking. So they put the couches there out of the rain. And then they started opening the car doors. The boot was open. And he said, oh, we'll take the middle one. We'll put it in the back in the boot. And then we'll put the other two on top of this car. I thought, oh, my goodness. I asked them, where do you stay? They said, no, just on the other side of the highway, of the freeway. So, okay. It's not too far from here, but getting there is the tricky part. Especially if you have these couches on top of the small car. So they loaded the first one, tied it down, windows of the ropes through the windows, tied the first one down, then put the other one on top of it. And the lady's photo, when she told me she's coming to get them, I said, well, it's going to rain soon. So she said, don't worry, we'll bring a cover. She says, okay, we'll cover them. So I thought, okay, well, pickup truck has a cover or something, that's fine. But now they have the small green car. Two of the couches, the four-seater or two-seaters, both of them on top of the roof, and the other one halfway stuck into the boot, tied with ropes, also through the windows. So they were almost ready to leave. They took out the cover. The cover was actually like the top part of a tent.
Okay. This is mind-boggling.
Yes, it is. So then they threw the cover over the couches, tied it down, and they said, okay, we are ready to go. They gave me the money, got into the car, and they left. So when they arrived home, she sent me a message to say, we made it. So I said, okay, great.
I mean, you in a way, you confirm the image that so many of us have of African improvisation.
Exactly.
Of improvisation. So the car, I don't know what brand it was, but to me it looked like a Renault Twingo, which is sort of like a roller skate for elephants. Yeah.
Yes. It's I think it's called a cherry. It's like a Chinese brand.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. So different markets, different cars. But anyway, it was basically a gigantic roller skate, which elephants use when they need to get to water quickly. I mean, the couch was almost bigger than the car. Yeah,
exactly.
You put the car into the couch and then you somehow drive it, you know, like Fred Flintstone.
Yes.
You sit in and you don't have an engine, you use your feet to move forward.
Yes. What made me think of the story was the missing spoon in Breda. I wrote something about the couch sucking in everything. And that couch that we sold was exactly like that, because as they picked up the couches or as we turned it around, we can hear some of the toys and some of the things on the inside. So it's all closed up. You can't get to it. So we just left it there.
Okay. Did you charge extra for the contents? You know, it's like a...
No.
Do you have Kinder eggs in South Africa?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so it's like, you know, you buy a couch, you rattle around and you'll find a surprise in it.
Yes.
oh my goodness. I love brilliant story. It's but anyway,
The pictures I took, like so that they can't see me. Because my husband was busy working. He missed the whole fiasco. He just saw, here comes the couches. And he was also thinking to himself, what are they putting it on? So I took the pictures and I sent it to him while he was working. So
okay.
That's how I got the pictures. I stole them.
So we sort of think that South Africa is unlike the rest of the continent. But I suppose when it comes to improvisation, anything goes. And if you have a roller skate to transport to a very large L-shaped couch, then you will find a way to do it. Yeah, no matter what. Yeah.
Yes.
Unlike in like in Europe, you know, you get a minivan or something, or you have a trailer, you put the thing on, and then you move forward, yeah, and it's done in a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the same that we would do. I would ask my mom to get her her truck, and we will use that to transport furniture or to pick something up or whatever. Or you will rent a trailer and then move whatever you want to move. Not them. They make a plan.
Okay. All right. Well, each to their own, each to their own. And at the
Yes.
end, of the day, you know, in a lot of situations, it's not how you do it, it's the end result that counts. And I think
Yes.
that's the lesson learned. We may sort of laugh and joke about it and say, now, is this going to work and how are they going to do this? But they, from what you're telling me, they seemed like, well, we've done this before, so we know what we're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Why are you questioning us? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just.
I have a similar story about selling an old washing machine. It was still working. They also came in a car, pushed it into the back seat, moved some things around, and they left.
That reminds me, we bought, it was between Christmas or just around Christmas about 10 years ago, and
Yes.
our washing machine packed up. Not a good time.
Yes.
And here in France, we have sort of this, it's called Le Bon Coin. It's sort of this private announcement space where you can, if something you want to sell or something, you put it onto Le Bon Coin, and then people will have a
Yes.
look at it. And we found a washing machine, and we rang them up and said, "Yes, it's available." And I think sort of like on the 27th or something like that, we drove there. It was probably about 50, 60 kilometers away, and we drove there, and we got there, and the washing machine was fine. And they said, "Look, it's really, really old. You know, you'll probably get about a year out of it at max." We said, "Look, we don't care. This is sort of like a stopgap because
Yes.
not a good time, etc." So that was about 10 years ago. The washing machine packed up about 2 months ago.
Oh,
It had finally given up its ghost. Yeah,
wow.
moral of the story, even if you look at, and I sort of what you're telling me, you seem to have a lot of antiques in your house. If you look after these sort of things, they will last a long, long time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Speaking of the weather, because I'm getting so fed up with opening the newspapers or listening to the radio, and all I hear is the pitiful state of this planet, I decided to cast my eye down to your neck of the woods,
Yes.
so I went to YouTube and found, I was trying to look for a, it was prompted by our conversation last week where you were sort of watching, you were talking about your satellite TV provider.
Yes.
And I was sort of thinking, well, I wonder if I can get a live stream of South African television. Not that I have a television here, but you know, YouTube does the job nicely.
Yes.
There wasn't anything available. I got the SABC news, reels and stuff like that. And I remember you telling me that SABC is sort of like really horrible, really bad. But you know, I mean, six of one, half a dozen of.
I think they're actually bankrupt.
What, like your airline as well? Yeah.
Yes.
South African Airways. Is it still flying or
I think it is. I think there's
okay.
still a few flights, yes.
Okay. Well, I have committed myself to being down in your area by this, our spring next year. So please, South African Airways, I want the experience from Europe to South Africa, so please keep flying until then. What you do afterwards, I don't care. Anyway, so I read or saw an article. Well, actually, no, I heard about flooding in
Yes.
the Eastern Cape, and then you very kindly sent me an article from AP, And there was a map, so I actually figured out where the Eastern Cape is.
Okay.
It's sort of right south, sort of in between, it's sort of in this triangle. Johannesburg, Durban, and Cape Town is the
Yes.
Eastern Cape. And
Yes.
conversely, the Western Cape is on the other side, which is the wine area. So I've learned that as
Yes.
well. And this is sort of like a completely nonsensical, I don't even, it's a fun fact. During the course of my travels online, I actually wanted to know how many people live in South Africa, and in comparison, how big the country is. So in
Yes.
comparison to France, South Africa is twice the size of France, but has roughly the same population.
Yes.
Whereby I did hear this morning that in your 2022 census, possibly a third of the population wasn't accounted for, that they sort of missed through the census or something like that. So
Yes. That's because they live, some parts is still rural, so they live in the rural areas. And then there's also, I think there's a lot of immigrants, also illegal immigrants, crossing the borders from Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. We even have people from Malawi coming in. Maybe they missed the census.
I wonder why. I'm
But
not, would you count me, please? I'm not supposed to be here, but I'd like to be included anyway.
yes.
Okay. So you sent me this article from AP, 78
Yes.
people dead. So I take from it the typical cry that, like in any extreme situation, happens here as well. These things are unexpected for some strange reason. And then everyone points their finger at the lack of infrastructure, the number of people who have died, unfortunately,
Yes.
finger pointing at the lack of infrastructure, response times too long. But then I sort of start looking at the numbers. Okay, so the water rose to a level of 3.3 to 4 meters, which is pretty high.
Yes.
But there was something, there was a sentence I read. Now, I don't know if it's the journalist who wrote this or what it is. I'm going to read this. So South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said that he would travel to the Eastern Cape on Friday. So this is going back a couple of days, quote, to see exactly how our people are suffering there and see how we can console the families.
That is always the response from our president. Ramsey,
Rumsey. Okay.
I will send you some videos. There's this colored lady on Instagram or Facebook that she makes the most hilarious videos, and she calls him Ramsey.
Okay. Well,
But
term of
anyways.
endearment, term of endearment. But to put in this context, you have this gigantic country,
Yes.
at least from a European perspective. It's empty as anything. I mean, how are you going to have an infrastructure to support this? I mean, let's get realistic. So if there is flooding, okay, it's not good. It shouldn't happen. The deaths shouldn't happen. But
Yes.
I mean, come on, guys, you are a big country. And a great one at that.
Yes, definitely. I agree with that. So the flooding, I think it's also mentioned in that article that most of these houses and where the problem started, they built too close on the river banks. So obviously when this flooding comes, it's going to sweep everything away. When the river goes over the sides, they are in trouble. Even here in my town, we have a smaller river running through it. It's called the Klip River. And there's a lot of houses and things next to this river, but when the level of the river rises, most of the houses are far away to keep them safe, everyone safe. But there are some people that build too close to the riverbank. In like Henley on Klip is a part of Meyerton, But there's quite a few houses that has to be evacuated when the level rises because of flooding and too much rain, and they have to evacuate their homes. There's one house that's been for sale for the past 2 years, I think. Nobody wants this house because it floods every single year.
I'll
Then
buy it. I'll buy it. I mean, given your housing prices, I mean, it's probably a cheap giveaway,
I think they actually lowered the price as well. Yes, because it floods and nobody wants to buy it. But it's a two-story house. My sister's past boyfriend from many years ago, his parents and his brothers and everyone lived there. So I know what the house looks like on the inside. Very nice. I would also buy the house. The only problem is the river that it's built too close to the river. So it's a two-story house. The bedrooms, bathrooms are all on the top floors, and then the kitchen, living room, and the dining room is at the bottom. And then there's a nice at the bottom. There's also a built-in jacuzzi, but the water flooding brought it out of the ground, so no more
Just
jacuzzi.
imagine, you know, having a nice, comfortable jacuzzi, you know, not with your wife, and all of a sudden this thing sort of lifts up, like, beam me up, Scotty.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it does have a nice wooden deck as well that obviously if the river floods, you can go to the higher level, but your bottom level is completely destroyed. Even the tiles also started lifting up, and
I mean,
it also has a flat that I know of. So it has a double garage on the side, and there's a flat built on top of this garage. So you can rent out the flat. So you can generate some a little bit of income.
flood proof because it's a little bit
Flood
higher,
proof, yes. And even the house, if they change the house a little bit, I think that like the top floors, use the top floors, close off the areas. Because the rooms are built on the side. So the inside is basically open and you can see down. So if you cover the floor, if there's a way that you can do that, I don't know, maybe expensive too, but create the whole top floor into the house, then you won't have a problem. Maybe the bottom part, you can knock down some walls, create pillars to keep the
Exactly.
house.
Put it on stilts,
Yes. But anyways,
so
that's
again,
costly.
well, okay, leaving all that on by the
Leaving all
wayside.
that behind, the floods in the Eastern Cape, the response.
But I'm going to, because this is a really an interesting story, because the deeper thing about it is that from my European perspective, where and we
Yes.
live in a highly regulated environment. I mean, you can't even, I
Yes.
mean, getting rid of rubbish, you need a university degree in this country, and
Yes.
it's even worse in Germany. But that's a different story altogether. So everything is highly regulated to the point where some people love it because they don't have to think. I'm beginning to rebel against it because I can't breathe.
Yes.
But the logic from my perspective is, if it is known that this river floods, why on earth do you build a house right on the bank
Yes.
and watch it fall apart? Is there
Yes.
no planning permission? Is there no building code, or is it ignored? I mean,
I think so there's a lot of things that happen illegally. So maybe this person bought the piece of land, they put up the house, maybe without plans, maybe without inspectors. I don't know. I don't know how they got permission to build that close to the riverbank. So something that we also thought about when they build our new mall. Okay, the mall was they started building it last year. It opened this year, or not last, maybe 2 years ago, but anyways, it opened in April. So it was supposed to open on the, I think it was supposed to be the 30th of March or something around there. And then they had to extend it to the 10th of April because the mall also flooded
Oh my
because
God.
of poor draining. Yes. And the water was deep. Like people were walking in the mall with knee-high levels of water inside of this mall, and it was supposed to open in that week. So people were started making jokes, and that's the best thing about South Africa. If something happens, there's always jokes. Like, take your boat to the mall. Remember to take your raincoat and your gum boots to the mall.
Oh, you see, so you can really tap into the you can
Yes.
tap into the national psyche, and it becomes almost a national pastime to make a joke out of every mishap, because that's the
Everything, everything.
it's the only way you can. It's like being the, it must be something, because my first wife is Irish, and the Irish had the same approach, to every, the English has to a certain degree. But I mean, let me put you into, let me comfort you on this one. I mean, Germany had and has two major infrastructure projects. One was, it's finally finished, was the new airport, about a million kilometers north of Berlin, the capital of Germany. This airport, I think it was 10 years late in opening.
Wow.
And then it was also, it's proven to be too small to handle the capacity. I mean,
Oh, wow.
this is the German national capital. 4 million people
Yes.
live there. It's the show, Berlin, it's the capital city, and they don't get it right. Because the sprinkler system was wrong. But again, Germans like to overcomplicate things.
Yes.
And the other story is closer. I keep mentioning the city, Stuttgart. There's actually a connection between Stuttgart and Johannesburg, because in Germany, in Stuttgart, they have this TV tower, and I think a copy of it was made in Johannesburg. I think you have the duplicate.
Okay.
Anyway,
I will check.
I haven't got that far. Anyway, so I remember back, I was in Stuttgart back in 1976, and there were pictures and concepts of rebuilding the railway station, because the railway station is a terminus one. So if the train pulls in, it stops, it can't go further, and it has to reverse out or get a new locomotive. And the plan was to rebuild the railway station as a through railway station. So you just rock in and then move on.
Yes.
This is 1976. Okay. Fast forward 25 years, and they start planning and building. But of course, Germans being who they are, there's some little microscopic rodent living on this ground. So you cannot build or rebuild an infrastructure monument, because there's something tiny living there, and it has to be protected. And then finally they got through that hurdle, and they started building. And again, so this project, it was called Stuttgart 21, because the railway station was supposed to open in 2021. It's now 2025, and I think it's going to open in about 2 years' time. So it's like 7 years. It is, I think it's gone from, I don't know, the price has tripled or quadrupled or something. So you're not alone with these things. It seems to be something in human nature, that we just don't get it right sometimes. And okay. Well, we shouldn't laugh at houses being built on riverbanks, because, and this is the moral of this story, we can't get it right ourselves. So, no matter where
Yes.
we are, whether in the Southern Hemisphere or in the Northern Hemisphere, it just doesn't work.
Things happen, yes.
We're going to talk about snow, because we've only actually covered about 3 points of our list here. So,
Yes. I was just thinking maybe we should make shorter lists. So the snow in Lesotho and the flooding in the Eastern Cape actually has a little bit of a connection with each other, because the flooding in the Eastern Cape is not just the riverbanks that went over because of a lot of rain, but also because of snowfall. And I don't know if you remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago that we were having very, very cold weather.
How could I forget?
Yes.
You were sitting there huddled as like an igloo, you're like an
Yes. Yes.
Eskimo.
That time. There was a lot of like forecasts and a lot of warnings about the cold weather coming in, and also a lot of snow predictions. So it did actually snow in Lesotho at that time as well. And That is why we have a chilly wind. The snow is still there. And this past weekend, my sister-in-law and her friend and family and my husband's cousin, they all went to Lesotho to this afri-ski resort. So the pictures that they took actually looks like they were in, I don't know, a place that has snow in Europe somewhere. So we were looking at the pictures thinking, where are they? And the more I checked her status and things, okay, she mentioned afri-ski, and there was one picture where they stood right next to the Lesotho, welcome to Lesotho, border,
Post.
the border post, yes. So then I said to my husband, well, they are in South Africa, but they are in Lesotho. So he wants to go too, but you need passports, and I don't have my passport yet, and we have to get my son's passport done as well. But that's a whole other ball game. The reason I don't have mine is because I don't want to sit 6 hours and wait in a queue to actually get it done. But that's also
Okay.
a story for another
Well,
day.
I mean passports apply. I think in Europe again, passports, getting a passport, it's all very complicated as well. But I think the we have thousands of stories here already. Again, you know,
Yes.
the sheer fact that there is this enclave in South Africa called Lesotho, and there's another one. I still know it as Swaziland. It's called
Yes,
it's sort of called Est Est Est.
Etatwini or Estatwini or something like that. I don't
Okay,
know, but
we're singing from the hymn sheet. That's
Swaziland.
yeah. Let's call it Swaziland. That these are actually independent countries
Yes.
inside this territory of South Africa,
Yes.
and you have just stunned me that you need a passport
Yes.
to enter the territory of Lesotho.
I think Swaziland as well.
I mean, I thought, I mean,
When
Lesotho.
you cross the border, you have to get your passport stamped.
Okay.
It's like right in the center, or not in the center, but just a little bit off center, but in South Africa.
But I know Lesotho also it's famous for its casinos, is that right?
I don't know about casinos.
Okay.
I know it
Okay.
for little huts and cows and snow.
So it's economically dependent on South Africa because it is what it is, but you need a I can't get over this, but you need a passport to enter the territory.
Yes.
You
And
need
you'll
that.
be surprised when I was still working. Sorry, now I'm interrupting you again. When I was still working in the pharmacy, there was actually a couple who traveled all the way from Lesotho once a month to come and shop at this mall that I worked in.
Wow.
And it's not even that far away from us. It's 4 hours, 3 hours or 4 hours in between to drive there.
Okay.
So once a month, they would come all the way from Lesotho to come and shop at that mall.
Okay. Is
But
there
there's others closer, but they come to that
Oh, they came to you because you're working in the pharmacy. We need to go and
one.
speak to Janita, yeah, because she's going to make do they have the same currency? Do they use the rand there as well in Lesotho, or do they have their own
I
currency?
don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well,
That's something that I should research. But until recently, I knew that obviously it's a different country. So in my head, you need to take a passport. And I never actually knew that you needed a passport, that you actually had to have your passport to cross the border until I researched it. Because I was thinking, okay, if you go to Europe, for example, we spoke about this as well. If you have the visa, you can travel around.
yeah, exactly.
Easy. Not here.
Getting in is probably a little bit difficult, but once you're in,
Yes.
it's
Yes.
relatively easy. Okay, right.
Sara also explained that to me. Once you are in, you can go everywhere.
Yes. Okay, right. Breeder summer season.
Yes.
Barbecues. So
Cupcakes.
cupcakes. So What is it? So just before we met this morning, summer for me is sort of, it's everything is relaxed. You get dressed in about 20 seconds, shorts and a t-shirt, that's all you have.
Yes.
And the music. And I spent last summer, so a year ago, I somehow had heard, I'd never heard of it before, Lana Del Rey's Summertime Madness. And that was my summer song. It was sort of, it was like this earworm in my head. And I listened to it again this
Yes.
morning, just before we met, just to get
Summer mood.
into the summer mood. Of course, summer for me back in Australia, about a million years ago, was, if you're down by the beach, it was the surfing, and everybody had, thick sun cream, sunblocker on their nose. Yeah, everyone's walking around with white noses. I mean, I wasn't part of the surfing crowd, but you sort of saw them, and you sort of
Yes.
sit on the beach and have a few tinnies and so on. But I think Monica can describe that one. So what are we doing with our summer festival? We've got the barbecue season planned. You've made a nice banner
Yes.
for that.
Yes.
And we've got Ralph.
Idea is to get some proper barbecue recipes. How to maybe different kinds of meat and fish and things that you will cook on the barbecue. And then I was also thinking about the dishes. What dishes would you serve with the barbecue? Okay, some salad ideas, or like we have the braaibroekie, like a toasted barbecue sandwich. Very, very nice. Or garlic bread.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yes.
Oh, I think I'm gonna have to have that tonight.
Okay. Garlic bread. We also make potato salad,
Yes, I think that's
fitting to our
standard.
potato peeling. And then salads like a Greek salad or a Caesar salad. That's also very popular. And then it also kind of depends on the weather. If it's a little bit cooler, we will make something called potato bake. So it's like a potato casserole. So you will cook your potatoes like you would with a potato salad. Then you cut them into
Slices.
slices, yes, and then pack them into a casserole dish. And then we mix cream, and there's like an instant mixture of herbs that you mix with the cream. We buy them in little packets. Throw that in there, and then you can add onions or tomatoes or peppers or whatever else you like. Bacon, even bacon is also a popular option. And then grate a cheese over the top, stick it in the oven for, I think it's 20 minutes, and then we have that with our meat.
I'm getting hungry.
Me too. I can hear my stomach.
It's always bad if you have a if you give a lesson on food. Rule number one: make sure you have eaten before, because you're definitely going to come out starving. I like the potato bake idea, because for the simple reason that we have something similar in France called gratin dauphinoise, but just the potatoes, the cream, and the onions, and everything else and garlic, and everything else is put by the wayside. So this is sort of like, and I think one of the themes that we could do is actually fusion food. Now
Yes.
this is what England, I mean, everybody poo-poos the quality of cooking in England, but it's actually really, really good, because there are so many cultures sort of mixing
Yes.
and mingling together, and they bring their food, and everyone sort of just mixes everything together. So
Yes.
fusion food, that would be a lovely theme, I think. Sort of take something South African, mix it with French, put it
Yes.
together, and see what happens. Yeah.
Yes.
Or if we take something from Azerbaijan, because they're a great barbecue or grilling nation, and mix it with something South African and French or European, and see what happens.
Yes.
That would be exciting. And then, so we can test this up here, and then when we sort of head into autumn, we'll just, okay, you guys, do it better than us. Yeah.
Yes. So I was just thinking, I went to a place in Soweto. So in Soweto, that is also like the south of Johannesburg, a little bit dangerous place. There's the Soweto.
I think those who know their history know the
yes.
name.
There's also the Soweto Towers. So I was right there next to the Soweto Towers. I had a colored friend at the time. She was married to a black man. And they took me there. It was a lot of fun. It did feel odd because I was almost like the only white person there. And
I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I mean,
they... So this white girl goes with a colored girl and her black husband and meeting some of their black friends. I think her sister was there as well. And then we had a meal there, a barbecued meal. So they have these big, big barbecues, like steel drums cut in half. Put a grill on top of that, made the fire, cook the dinner, and it's always there. It's an existing restaurant, and then there's a huge bar. And
wow.
I was just thinking about their barbecues, like what we had. I ate the food there, where other people would think, oh, gross, but it was actually very, very good. We had steak, we had chicken, we had boerewors. That's a sausage.
Right.
And then they made pop, made like maize meal porridge.
Okay.
With tomato sauce and tomato and onion sauce. And there was also a side salad. So there was this whole plate of food. I couldn't finish everything.
Wow.
And it was dirt cheap. It was really, really cheap. And it was actually very, very nice. And even though I was the only white girl there, nobody treated me strangely. Nobody looked at me funny or thought like, what is she doing here? It was all, they were very curious, like, what are you doing here? But not like in a bad way. They are very, very curious, like, what are you doing in this part of town?
I mean, this is what I can't get my head round. And I suppose it's not what you know, but who you know. So
yes.
Last week we were talking about you jogging and sort of I'm saying, you know, looking at the map, you know, take the train from where you live up into Johannesburg. And I get this big eye staring and say, no, you cannot do that because it's unsafe.
Yes.
So my thinking is that it's safe to travel on the trains because this is what we do in Europe.
Yes.
And our thinking is Soweto is a no-go zone. Now
it is.
It is, but if
it's a but.
If you know somebody.
Yes.
So I suppose if I went into Soweto by myself, I don't know if I'd come out the same person as I went in.
Yes, they will mug you and take your clothes and shoes and whatever you have with you.
Well, they'll probably give me back my clothes because they say, God, he looks ugly. So, sorry, mate, don't worry about it. It's nothing personal. If you have, for want of a better word, protection, yeah,
yes,
then this is an amazing experience. And this is what
yes.
I find. So this is what excites me. I live a sheltered life. You can actually do these things and you come out with fantastic, you don't come out with fantastic recipes, you come out with fantastic stories.
Yes.
And then if you have the ability to, like in this film, Out of Africa, to tell these stories, I mean,
yes.
I was hanging on every word you were saying just now because I just thinking, now this is not what I was taught. This is not what I was taught to believe. Yeah.
Yes.
And I have friends who did the typical South African tour, and last stop was the apartheid museum.
Yes. Yeah.
And they showed me pictures of Soweto as they drove past. It's not an attractive place by any means.
No, No, it's
Yeah.
not.
But, and this is the important message here, it's the people inside. Yes, there are people who are going
Yes.
to want to do bad things to you.
Yes.
They are probably in the minority. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But if you know, and then if you reach out and speak with these people, and you hear this about, you know, trolls on social media, etc., if you
Yes.
actually reach out to them and have a halfway decent conversation with them,
Yes.
it's quite interesting to learn where they're from and why they do things, etc.
Yes.
Thank God we record this, because I'm going to I listen to these things a few times afterwards, and I start making notes. Fruit Loops Soweto stories. I can just imagine that it's a whole book by
And
itself.
like yes, so I drove to this friend of mine. We worked together in the pharmacy. She was the cosmetics manager, and then after some time, she transferred to Cape Town because her family is actually there. So I drove to her house. She lived in Alberton. That's 30 minutes from here. I went to her house, left my car there, and then we took an Uber. This was my first experience in an Uber. We had a black driver. And I was so scared because I had no idea where we were going. I didn't have any control of driving or what's going to happen with this colored lady and this black guy. I knew him. His name was, his name is Andile, her husband. I've met him before. I've seen him before. We've chatted in the pharmacy and so on. So, but now I'm sitting there in the middle. Andile next to me, Shireen on the side, and we are going to Soweto with this black Uber driver. And I didn't know what to think. And I saw this Uber driver looking in his rear view mirror, like, where's this girl going? So when we got there, obviously I was the only white girl there, and looking around, everyone looked at me, but not like, what are you doing here? It was just strange for them to see me there. And then they realized, okay, I was there with Andile and with Shireen, and a lot of them came over to talk to us, like, where are you from? What are you doing here? They thought that I was a tourist. So I said, well, I actually live in South Africa, not too far from here.
I'm one of you.
I'm one of you.
Yeah, we have the same identity and
Yes.
passport and so on.
Yes.
My goodness.
And right. Then we had the food. The food was delicious. We had a couple of gin and tonics. And then after the bar closed, one of the men came there with his cooler box. And he started handing out glasses, opened his cooler box, gave everyone ice, shared his gin and tonic with everyone. And we sat there. I think we only left again at 12 a.m. in the morning.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, God, you're really pushing the boat out on this one.
But we had a lot of fun, and the discussions and the questions and things that we talked about. And then we also had to wait in the street for our Uber. Now, this white girl standing next to a street in Soweto, waiting for another Uber in the middle of the night with her colored and black friend. That was another experience, because now you see people starting, or they walked around. What are they still doing in the street at this time? That was a little bit scary, but...
No wonder you're fearless. Right. Okay. We're sort of overshot already, but
yes.
Okay, it's worth it.
If you have to cut it, you can cut it.
No, I can't, because I have to cut the video and it's far too complicated. No, and,
yes.
No, and this, I do not want to cut this, because it goes
yes.
right into the ethos of what we do here in Breeder.
Yes.
Fantastic. But the beauty of that is it actually ties in with your Fruit Loop question.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read it, because it's going to get published in the community. And if you're not a member
yes.
of the community, you know where to come, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. These stories, it gets much better. But
yes.
your Fruit Loop question is brilliant. Yeah. If life had a remote control, which button would you press the most? pause, rewind, fast forward, or mute? And why would you do it? I mean, now you have these, you have this whole Soweto story. And at that time, probably you're trying to either rewind or fast forward. You don't, you know, why am I here? Why did I go and do this adventure? Fast forward, please get me out of here. Hindsight, of course, is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And what would you pause or mute or what would you do? It's a hugely, I mean, even I, which is not saying a lot, you really have to think about this one, yeah,
yes.
In the context. Okay. We didn't cover half the stuff on our list. We have the second newsletter out. It's available. Those who want it, send us a word. Email or send us a message. The missing teaspoon. Again, if you're a member of the Breeder community, you will find out what happened to the missing teaspoon. The story will have a finale this afternoon. Janita, I know you entertained me for the last 75 minutes. You have the last word. I shut up, then I press the stop recording button, and then we call it a day.
Okay. I think the last word I'm just going to keep short and sweet. Next time, you should tell something about yourself and an experience that you had, a place that you went to.
I'm supposed to shut up now, but I don't know if I can I don't know if I can match your level. Okay. Listeners, readers, our apologies for overshooting the 60 minutes by 16, 15, 14 minutes, but I hope you will find that it was worth it.
Yes.
Anita, thank you. All I can say
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, people, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you, hear you, learn from you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.